All right, we're back. It's cocked. What's up? We're back. New recording software and new room with nothing hanging on the walls yet. So if it's really weirdly echoey for this episode, bear with.
Campbell moved.
Yeah, we've relocated Cocked HQ. We'll figure it out.
Quality cocked.
Yeah, and we got some friends.
Welcome
to
Cocked and welcome you guys to Cocked.
Yeah, welcome you guys to Cocked.
Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Connor.
Not to be confused with me.
Yeah. I am the first Connor.
True, but it's my podcast, so you're Connor too.
Yeah, I'm Connor too in this room, yeah.
And we have...
Wait, hold on. Why did we bring you here today?
Today we're going to be talking about the Toronto Warhammer Club Hogtown 40K. And... my partner in crime here, Nick, and I put on an event 2 weekends ago with 50 people, and we're going to talk about events.
Introduce yourself, Nick.
If I have to. I am Nick number one. I am good Nick. There are a lot of Nicks in our community, but I am the first. Not necessarily in order of birth, but just a random order. I think you said
you
this.
You chose the random order.
I chose the random order, one. Yeah. I think Connor said this. I'm the president, war master, whatever, of the club. And thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, thanks for...
You're welcome.
Trekking all the way out to Etobicoke.
Yeah.
You're Connor. I'm Campbell.
Yep.
In case you missed it or forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. We want to talk about... Because, you guys just did the Hogtowner. I think it went... It seemed like it went pretty well. I stopped by. I swung by for a couple of... Ice cold Tiskies.
Yeah. It's a great event.
How'd it go?
It was the fifth annual.
Fifth annual. You have no idea how well it went, considering we had a date change a month leading up to the event.
For the best reason ever, right?
For the best reason ever, and that is you can never trust an old Polish grandmother to keep track of dates.
Especially when she quits.
When they just quit.
Oh my God.
But the event that you had to move for... is funny.
It was a tango festival.
No, it was a competition.
It was a tournament.
Tango.
Yeah, like a tournament.
A different kind of organized event.
It was the finals.
Yeah. And the best part was they were
min-maxing tango.
They were min-maxing tango. But throughout the weekend, I was talking to the organizer and the caretaker of the facility, and they would just drop comments about how much of a shit show the tango festival was, but never actually said anything.
You can only imagine when it's like a bunch of 65 to 80 year olds doing tango. What happened?
Give us for any of our listener who doesn't know what the Hogtowner is. Can you give them a little rundown of like what the vibe is for that event?
Yes, I can.
Wait, hold on. Well, I got a better way to set the stage.
Okay.
So we have a lot of episodes that are on vibe and purpose for why you play a game like Warhammer, specifically around like getting into the universe and finding ways to like tweak your play to make it like elicit the things you like about that setting. And often that comes in contrast to kind of shitting on competitive play or like organized
playing straight out of the book.
Straight out of the book. And the Hogtowner is kind of like an interesting mix of that, because it is an organized event where there is placement, there is like competition. That's kind of why we'd like to...
The internet technically classifies it as a GC as well.
The internet.
A grand tournament.
There's a very funny Goonhammer article right now about how it doesn't make sense that the winning list won the Hogtowner.
Gotta watch.
So for your questions, we're going to go back all the way to Astronomicon. And I think the three of us, Connor, and me, Nick, have all played at Astronomicon before. And look it up on the internet. It's there. But it's essentially a more narrative-driven 40K event. And they just stopped running events eventually in Toronto. And we kind of picked up that torch. And we're like, there's a huge space for competitive-minded events. But that the other pillars of the hobby are like being a good sports person and being a good hobbyist. Those are never considered. So the first Hogtowner was just a response to, let's run an event that we would want to play in. So it's really all three things. It's playing the game, because playing the game, you need to be competitive.
Mm-hmm. You still want to win.
Yeah. Healthy competition is great. Great hobby. And you want to play games with people you want to have a beer with. Does that answer your question?
That does answer
yeah.
my question.
Totally. That's heck.
So the twist on the Hogtowner from a regular GT, though, is that this year it wasn't as intense of a twist, but...
A new edition,
yeah. So, you know, you kind of want to let people... Some people haven't even played more than one or two games when they come to the weekend. So you don't want to change too much for them because they don't even know what they're doing. But usually we'll have like an envelope on each table, each round, and there will be some kind of twist that tweaks the game from out of the book. So like holding an objective, it'll be irradiated. So your guys holding objectives are weaker, but if they hold it, they get to shoot better or something. It's like pluses and minuses, and you don't want feel bads, but you just try to make things fun or fluffy. And there isn't really an overarching narrative in the 40K section because we're building it for 40 people. But for the Heresy one, we did 10 people. This is the fourth annual Heresy that we just finished.
It was 12 people this year.
So it's 12 people this year. And we had 12 spots last year, but it was COVID, so it was weird. But that is like pure custom, 70% narrative driven. Yeah. Nothing is balanced. Like there's crazy third party stuff going on.
Talk about like the Heresy side of it a little more, because that is kind of the thing that really interests me. Like when I go to sort of visit and hang out, or like last year I volunteered and helped you out with that, and it's like not having been to like a lot of 40K events personally, but like of the ones that I have been to, like your sort of like little Heresy subset is kind of the thing that like makes the Hogtowner stand out to me a lot more than like other. More like specifically 40K, specifically like this is a competition, like linking everything together more narratively is like...
It's an awesome opportunity to have Heresy there because... And I've told other people that have played in it and been like, dude, we like want you to help us plan our next event for like 30 people, 20 people even, like 40 people, whatever. And, I'm always like, I don't think you can do something bigger than that without sacrificing what makes... the 10 to 12 person Heresy event so great.
You would need to find another way to deliver a narrative. You couldn't do it in 40, handcrafted.
You need five Connors.
Yeah.
you would actually
and
need,
we only have two, unfortunately.
Five dedicated game masters.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So it's awesome for us because the 40K people pay the bills for us to have the hall and get the beer and the food and all that stuff, and then the 10 Heresy guys just get to go nuts, which is great. But yeah, so each, so we do 5 to 6 tables, depending on if it's 10 or 12 people. Each table has a custom written mission, and each round I go around to each table and add third party forces, whether they're allies or NPCs or things attacking you out of the sky or demons being summoned or whatever, and it all has, each player has their own character, so we take their names and add it into the story. Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
It's heavy, yeah. Hold on.
Like, because my thing about the Heresy thing is, like, because it is such a narrative-focused sort of, like, subset of the event, and it's, like, I've seen, like, you guys write, you know, interstitial, like, cutscenes and shit. How, like... Do you have like a like? Do people rank? You get like a first, second, and third place coming out of the Heresy, or
right? So
because to me it seems so completely removed from the more like competitive, the 40K like tournament part of the Hogtowner.
I think that's my favorite thing about it is, people who have played in the club or know about the club kind of get that, and we like really push and advertise that it's like purely narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's not going to be balanced. There's going to be a ton of crazy stuff going on. And it's like the player buy-in is so great because Heresy has 3 trophies, and it's the loyalist side votes for their favorite opponent on the traitor side and vice versa for the traitor side. So it's like Chosen of the War Master and Most Loyal Son, or whatever the trophies say. And then group voted for best presentation army for the 10 or 12 people.
So it really is like pure hobbyist, right? Yeah. Like your win-loss record in the heresy side of this event doesn't really matter at all.
It matters for like
bragging rights.
Who won the campaign, yeah. Sure. quote unquote. But yeah. that doesn't get you anything. Mm-hmm. It's just it gets you fun.
Yeah, exactly.
On that buy-in though, like we have a lot of conversations about this. So I'm curious about like for the 40K event, like putting in those kiss curse mechanics into tables. In a game where like so much of the game in a competitive space is like trying to minimize the amount of randomness that can occur, and then that clashing with like a story where a character encounters things, obstacles that they're not prepared for, is like the basis of any kind of like narrative. If it's as loose as here's an event where there's a bunch of tables, how did you come to that? And how did you get buy-in, and has that been difficult to get in that event?
It was definitely difficult to get from people who are more competitive-minded. But again, going back to that Astro scene, that was a huge event like 5-6 years ago. And every table had a different specific mission. And we were like, that's cool, but it also is it's a lot of work. Don't want to do that much work. Yeah. What can we do that introduces a little bit of randomness and adverse conditions, right? Because it's very easy to throw your models down, play the same game you've played 100 times. Lists are similar. There's a meta, right? And there are people who come to the Hogtowner expecting a GT. Definitely.
Those people don't come back, though.
Yes, they do. They do. We definitely.
Well, we've had a couple.
We've had a couple come back.
You must like convert some people, and other people don't come back, right?
But that's the buy-in, right? Which is great because people come like, "Whoa, this was actually really fun," and I didn't have to. I don't want to say try so hard because people still come and want to win and try hard, but like
you don't have to put all your emotional stakes on whether you won games or not per se. It's like one game, won or lost, plus how much fun.
Yeah,
for sure. And like there's events where I've played just a Saturday and it's three games, and you're just exhausted at the end of the day when you're like playing hard and trying to win and like min-maxing your target priority and all that stuff. So it's like, I think those guys come to this and they're like, wow, this is a really nice break
to come
hang out and play the game that I love to play.
And then for those of you who don't know what the Hogtowner is, we provide coffee, we provide breakfast, we provide lunch, we provide dinner on Saturday.
The comfort level is such a big part
you
of having fun.
You don't need to worry about running off and grabbing tacos when you have a 45-minute break.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, other Connor.
Connor.
I'm other Connor. You're other Connor.
It really comes down to awards and how you incentivize play. And other Connor brought this up a little bit earlier when he talked about the heresy events. Oh, you're awarding the behavior that you want to see in games. And before the Hogtowner heresy, all of our heresy events were the same. It was, who was the best person that you played today?
Yeah.
And what army has the most visual impact? It's not even best painted.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you looks enjoy looking awesome at? Yeah, yeah. On the table? And for the Hogtowner 40K event, it's a very similar mindset. You know, we reward the things we want to see. We reward battle points. Healthy competition has to be there.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in that. That's what people want when they play.
That's the game. That is like
The game. Yes. Yeah.
The tabletop game is.
Yeah. Hobby. This year, we can talk about this later, but this year hobby was an interesting element because normally we do a rubric.
Yeah.
Paul and the previous year's judge, Paul will be a future guest. No spoilers.
We haven't talked about that. Nick's just declaring it.
I'm declaring it.
He's product managing.
You've told me. I'm in on this. Paul, if you're listening to this, I've left a beer in Campbell's fridge for you. But
it's a blue.
It's a blue.
There ain't no beer in there. Never was.
So best overall is a combination of those two factors. But then there's other awards, right? There's people's choice. So it's just what army looked the best to you as a person who attended.
Yeah, because of the aspect of like, I know this is the best technically skilled yeah. paint and it deserves to win something, but there's also just like, I love the vibe of the, it speaks to like you and your tastes for whatever reason.
Yeah. Kind
of
thing.
Like last year we had that orc army and it was all pirates.
That was 2 years ago. But yes.
And it was so awesome.
The, like the storm boys, the jump pack guys just were holding balloons in one hand and it was like a gun in the other.
It was like
fun.
Painted really well.
Yeah.
They all, he green stuffed well, like sculpted bandanas and cannons and eye patches and peg legs. And like,
it, he showed me.
His display board had water effects and AOS like elf.
Yeah.
Underwater elf ship.
It was great.
And all the orcs were like coming over the side of it. It was awesome.
He picked up a Gretchen to show me. When we were looking at detail for the paint judging, and he had painted a reflection in the Gretchen's binoculars.
Amazing. That's
crazy.
Like,
yeah, and it's like, dude, you have 60 of these. Like, what the hell?
I could like attest to that firsthand. Last year I won, no big deal. I won best loyalist opponent. And it felt so good because I didn't expect it at all. And then
yeah.
you get it and you turn around and there's like a whole bunch of group of guys like smiling and clapping.
Yeah.
Nah.
And it's like, that's, it feels so good.
You literally just spent like 40 hours together.
Like, yeah.
Just yeah.
doing pure bullshit. So.
And you got an award for being, that's the guy I like the most.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's great.
Out of everybody I...
It's just a damn popularity contest with your kids.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to events before where people treated as such.
Mm.
They show up with a bottle of Fireball and shot glasses, and they will pour a shot, give it to you, and be, there's my sportsmanship for this game. Let's play. And it's like...
Weird.
What are you doing, man?
Yeah, that's the aspect. It's funny.
This, is,
like,
this is a marathon. I can't believe a shot. Oh, it's a Fireball? Yeah. How many 13-year-olds are playing these Fireball tournaments?
And then they proceed to just wipe the fucking floor with you.
Yeah.
So it's like the exact... Sorry, go ahead, but...
Well, I was about to kind of divert off of this a little bit. So
no, I was going to say that, like, the vibe, because the first tournament I ever went to was with Campbell. There mm-hmm. used to be, we talked about this in our first episode, there was like a tournament at the airport. We went like the year after or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's like the exact opposite of Hogtowner, where it's like
this is far
worst. As fuck from everything. So you just don't, lunch is like maybe fries from that cost like $12 that they had to ship into the airport. Hangar, like it was like a fucking airport hangar.
Well, it was in like a convention center by the airport. So no, it was
but
like,
in my yeah, mind, like, that's an airport. Yeah, hangar. It's yeah. a big space by the airport.
Yeah,
and it's like nobody talked. It was cold. There was like a big ass magic tournament going on at the same time.
There's nowhere to sit.
There's nowhere
yeah.
to sit.
Yeah, every army was just like airbrushed three colors. Like it was like someone stood up a horde of Tyranids and just went like.
Yeah, it's like Xenophil, then just out, and then with, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Like.
And that's yeah, that's like, good hobby comparatively, because the first big event I ever played in was the day that Imperial Knights were released for the first time. Christ. And there was a guy who showed up early and built his Imperial Knight box right before the tournament.
Oh, geez.
And was playing with fully plastic stuff.
Oh, that's the worst. Insane.
That is
you should leave
him alone with like meta chasing. That that's like, wild.
Oh yep. my god.
What I was gonna say about the last point about the Hog Turner though is. Incentivizing is the way that we weight best overall is so it uses the hobby rubric, which is weighted 50%
yes.
of your overall score, and then your battle score across your five games are also weighted 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come and crush, and you could get 500 points over your five games and score perfect games. But if your army looks like dog shit and you get 10 points out of whatever the
you don't deserve
is,
to win.
You will get maybe the butcher prize.
Yeah.
But and, you might get nothing.
And the butcher prize is hilarious. And what the butcher prize has been, because there's an increase in environmentally minded people. It has been a deer heart. It has been a beef heart. It has been steaks. It has been ground beef. What we are just doing now is just throwing them a $50 gift ticket to Sanigan's.
I still want to give you guys a pig head to give to somebody.
No, Paul has vetoed that.
Yeah, the head's already
again,
been cut off.
And again,
yeah,
it's funny, like. But okay, so here's kind of my thing. Like my theory about events is that I think like I want to talk a little bit more about like the.
Because like you got your plugs in, you got your 15 minutes of advertising for your event.
You invited me.
You were asking us questions, sir. But like,
so like, I want to talk more about like the place of events in the hobby specifically, because I think that like events are, you do part like Warhammer and gaming as a whole is a social hobby. It is a thing that you do with another person.
100%.
Events need to exist in order to facilitate that. And I have this thing where I think that like events in Warhammer have been kind of like co-opted and like stolen by the hyper-competitive
esports.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And totally.
We had a streaming guys there.
Yeah, yeah, that was
pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
But like that's a thing now.
Yeah,
like people will go on YouTube and watch a top-down camera view of a Warhammer game being played in real time over 3 hours.
Yeah. I wonder if like
people have an appetite for that.
That was a huge thing during the pandemic too.
Yeah,
all of like the Battle Report people were just like, we need to put out content, man. We're just doing live streams of games.
It was awful.
Yeah,
so boring.
It was so boring. But Campbell, I loved what you said. You didn't mention tournaments once.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about events.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A tournament is a type of event.
It is.
But I think a lot of people think of them as being the same, like all events have to be tournaments. And yeah. I think that's therein lies kind of like the Goonhammer confusion about what the Hogtowner is.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Like if you go through like old white dwarfs, and I always like love citing old white dwarfs from like a certain time in history of like the mid 90s, early 90s, and it's like, you know, Games Workshop's like putting out an ad for an event that's taking place in fucking Glasgow or something, and it's not like come play 6 games in a day. It's like, we're gonna fight the Battle of Talargrad.
It's like the desolation of fucking planet. Exactly. Yeah.
I grew up on that shit. Yeah. I used to live in Oakville. That's where I grew up, and we had the Oakville Battle Bunker. I remember playing in an event on the Helm's Deep table.
Amazing.
It's so sick. So cool. Yeah.
Like it was awesome, that type of thing, right? Like you're I think that's where the heresy really picks up that slack.
Yeah.
Is into that bigger picture piece. And this might be controversial. I think 40K has completely lost that thread.
100%.
And there's no way that you could attract enough people to do that anymore.
I think you could, but you'd have to be inherently, like, Heresy's tailor-made for it because there is only two sides.
Yeah.
And within any club, there's going to be enough people. If there's Heresy players, you know, you're not going to have like an 8-2 loyalist to Heretic or Traitor thing. But if you wanted to do it for 40K, there's the first obstacle, which is like the cultural buy-in, because that's more of a barrier in 40K than it should be or has been in the past. Second, you have to be like, we're only doing orcs versus Eldar.
Yeah.
So we need, if you have those, you know, you'd have to find some way, because like it does break down if it's an everybody come to a narrative thing, because then you're like, this is, it just devolves into kind of a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do.
And I've seen it done recently, and it was essentially Imperium versus Chaos, and then Xenos could play games and choose which side that game influenced.
But you don't have the tightness. You don't have the
No, you don't.
You can't craft. You have to be more like, you could do like, we're gonna fight Armageddon this weekend or something like that.
Yeah,
but yeah.
No.
Other events have tried to do it, and then it turned into like everyone versus Imperium, and the complaint was obviously, I'm on the side that isn't Imperium. And I played 5 games against Space Marines, and that's so boring to me.
Yeah.
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 So it's like, how do you balance that in 40K?
I think one of the ways that can be done, and this is something that I've played with in my mind, is to adopt not like an overarching narrative, but more of a personal one.
Right.
So to introduce a little bit more of maybe an RPG element to your army.
This is my guy's story for the event.
Yeah, and as he progresses through the event, whether it's a Broodlord, whether it's a, I don't know what the new Imperial Guard guy is. He's awesome. He rides a robot horse. Great model, by the way. But like, that's your commander. and there's no named characters because fuck named characters.
Yeah.
In general.
100%.
Can't stand
it's the
them.
Worst.
Not allowed.
Can't stand them.
Right.
But like, you get a bonus.
That's an interesting. You could do. You could create something that's more like that's less about. Here is this one operational level engagement in this fucking whatever the hell star cluster. And it's more about you're going to fight over these 2 days, your character's career over a 10-year period.
Yeah.
And you're just cutting between engagement and engagement.
I think that's awesome also for a first narrative event for a club because you build buy-in for narrative.
Right.
I'm helping you tell your guys, your super special guys' story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the next time you do it, maybe you can do a more focused narrative and you'll have buy-in for that. And people will be like, oh yeah, I have orcs. I'll play orcs versus Eldar versus Space Marines in that event. And then you maybe can get 20 people to come do it.
Mm-hmm.
What's so the second point that we talked about like the cult, the culture, the gaming culture of 40K, you're saying it's like has lost it and can't get it back. But what's interesting to me is that like, if you look at like the big battle report, content producers like a Tabletop Tactics or like a 40K and 40 Minutes kind of thing, they're pretty narrative focused, like, and like wildly popular. And maybe it's like a selection bias because that's what I'm interested to, so that's what like the algo serves up. Like what do you think, like
what
is
that
stopping
other one?
It?
Tabletop Titans?
Yeah, Tabletop Titans was around for a bit.
They're super competitive focused.
Yeah,
right.
Even when they're like, this is a narrative
so it's my
game
sample.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like hyper focused lists,
yeah,
but they just like put a like skin over top of the match, being
right?
Like, it's Tyranids versus Blood Angels. But yeah, I think I feel like the internet it can. I don't know if people really play like that in the real world. When you like go on a forum or Reddit or DACA, do people go on DACA still? I don't know. And it's like, tell me how to make my list better, and people are like, scrap it.
Yeah.
Play all of this instead because this is the best.
But then again, like I do see a lot of on Reddit, like a scary amount of posts of people being like, hey, is it allowed to put this head on this guy?
Dude, yeah. Especially in Heresy.
It's like,
especially in Heresy.
What the fuck?
Do what the fuck you want. Like,
yeah, it's.
But I think that goes back to just this iconoclasm with the hobby, because you do have Games Workshop purists who are just like, and it's driven by Games Workshop itself. You try showing up at Games Workshop with 3D printed parts. Yeah, we're all a little off track here, but
no, this is the show, dude.
Yeah,
believe me, I know. Connor and I used to run a podcast a long time ago. Don't listen to it.
Yeah, it's called The Independent Characters.
It's called The Independent Characters. But
unless you have 4 hours spare for one episode.
But I think, I'm going to open this can of worms right now. This is the problem when you turn a hobby company into a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
I was going to say one share is like 1,600 pounds or something. It's like insane. Yeah.
And they want to push their own stuff, and it's not as hobby focused. It is about selling stuff and selling this pure vision of a Games Workshop supplied 40K game.
They have a vision of how the game should be played, and it's directly related to their production and marketing and like the product that they're selling.
Yeah,
which is. There's a bit of like it's almost like a monkey paw thing where like for years we used to be like, I wish Games Workshop would be more involved.
No, I take it back.
You're like, shut up about 40K Games Workshop.
Well, that's why I tell anybody who complains about Heresy now. Why aren't they updating shit? Shut up.
Please.
Just
no.
Shut up.
Oh, God, please.
Don't wish for that.
Yeah.
Well, like, kind of like... Last year for the Heresy, like when I got to participate and volunteer a little bit, I got to play orcs, and that was all rules that you found that were kind of like fan made.
Oh yeah,
rule
set. You know, I can't remember who did it. What there was like a forum or a group of, was it Australia? 40K?
I think it was Australia.
Was it the Eye of Terror?
Oz 30K, I think. But they did. It was Great Crusade. So
they
there
did
Necrons,
all of the
orcs, Eldar. I think that was.
Did you have a Tau? Right.
But
no Tau. They don't exist yet. Are you kidding me?
No, but they're a great people. Advanced.
They were just little porpoises in the water.
I don't know
cows, whatever.
But Tau do a great job of representing like an advanced alien.
Something
empire.
Else.
No, that would break my brain. Yeah.
But that to me, that like. Sort
but we
of,
co-opted
like,
the rules and pushed them into second edition Heresy. Yeah.
Totally, and like did great crusade. We've talked on the pod before, but we have this sort of theory of like product focused gaming versus like folk gaming or like game focused gaming, and that reads to me as more of like here's taking if the GT, if the Games Workshop move is to be like much more product focused and be we're playing this by the rules, we're chasing the meta and like buying new products and stuff, and like this is a thing where it's like you're starting to incorporate elements of fan made rule sets into mm-hmm. your events, and like we've talked previously about Commander in Magic being like here's something that started out as this was like a fan made game format that has now become like the default, and there are now events specifically catered towards Commander.
Yeah.
Like, do you see an avenue that way of like more and more like kind of like fan made rule sets, and like even because you guys are like talking about putting twists in 10th edition for your 40K side of things, and like again like just reclaiming that space away from like just chasing whatever the most recent codex was and by building your fucking
declare some terms. This is like a distinction that I saw from a guy who made a role playing game called Knave. Which is that there are two types of gaming. There's product gaming, which is I am buying a product and I am consuming the product with my friends, like it's a video game. And there's folk gaming, which is I'm carrying on a tradition of play that goes back before me and will continue after me, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think that's the distinction that you know our gaming community tries to move towards. Is we love seeing conversions that do those callbacks that might not necessarily be out of the box things, and there might be a generational aspect there, because a lot of the newer gamers that I play games with playing in our Heresy League, it is all out of the box stuff.
Right.
Like there's no conversions, and they're like, oh cool, where'd that model come from? Like I took like 5 different kits and bash them together. So I think there's an avenue for that, but what is your gaming group?
That's what I was going to say. So yeah. For Campbell's question, I think it's kind of a slippery slope for fan-made stuff, I find.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
When second edition Heresy came out, there was a ton of it's like when AOS came out and people were like, I'm burning my army. Yeah. It's like you have people that just like go insane, right? And people were like, oh, these rules are broken. This is bad. Like, here's our fan-made rules, like, week of release.
Like, the Panopticon did it.
It
SN
was like,
Battle Reports did it.
And I was like reading the rules and I was like, these
suck.
This looks insane. Yeah. Because
you're not a professional game designer. You're like,
yeah. And you just like slap this shit together with 5 of your buddies, which is totally fine if you guys play it. And I feel like that's what the Hog Tanner ends up being. But we're not putting it out on the internet being like, everyone should adopt this.
Totally.
Because we know it's not balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like having...
But I think that's like a principle that you should understand about tabletop wargaming in particular and tabletop gaming in general, which is that it's not balanced and it's never going to be balanced.
Yeah. And like going back to those old White Dwarves and stuff too, like they would have scenarios, narrative scenarios. And even Nick and I, one of my first Heresy games, Nick and I played Death of a Primarch, which is the scenario where Fulgrim kills Ferris.
Yeah.
And
that was hilarious.
The whole scenario is the Iron Hands are betrayed and they're surrounded and they lose in the fight.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So Nick had like 3,000 points and I had 2,000 points and he deployed all around me in a circle and just like blew me up.
And then got first dirt.
But like, those scenarios in the White Dwarves too, it's like this is the Blood Angels fighting off the Tyranids and they lose. So the scenario on the table is like a 99% chance for the Tyranids to win. It's almost impossible for the Blood Angels to win unless someone just rolls all ones and twos on a random chance, because there is a chance that could happen.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But the scenario is not built for to be a 50-50 chance. You're playing a story. And so, like, that's how I build the heresy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And putting in our own rules and whatever. I think the cool thing about folk gaming is, like, you're creating your own little insular pocket of
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And I don't... And that's why I think it's hard for Games Workshop to push a narrative aspect for their game that appeals to the large section, like, player base.
Do you think... Do you think that there could be, like, do you have, having run events, this is the fifth Hogtowner, you said?
Yeah.
Having run five of these huge events that are, like, that have the objective that you guys just, like, laid out, are there tools or modes of play or things that you think Games Workshop could provide that would make it, make pulling it, if you think about something like Crusade, which is obviously not fit for... really much in general, but like what are some things that would be useful?
We tried Crusade rules in the Hogtowner last year and they were rejected.
Yeah.
People were clear that they did not want that.
They're not good.
And
Games Workshop still has this like little whisper in their brain being like, we have to do something for the narrative players, and it's a straight up afterthought.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm like, I don't think they can ever get it back because they're trying to sell stocks and shareholder returns and stuff. And it's like, we got to push product. So the narrative, like, that doesn't sell. Like, people want the competition that is the broader audience.
But there's, I think there's an element of culture at play. And when you try to expand your audience to such a wider thing for a 50-person event... It's very difficult to get 40, 50 people to be on the same page for something. The four of us, maybe get like 2-3 other people, could play a narrative focus campaign over a couple of months and we'd have a blast. But to get that many people in a room with that same mindset, it's not easy to do.
Totally.
And so I think, you know, you gotta sneak it in where you can. But it's interesting because I also play Bolt Action, and it's a great game, and that game is built on like uneven historical scenarios, and I think that's why the appeal of Heresy is there, because it's future historical wargaming, and people are expecting to play a battle at the Siege of Terra where the Imperial Fists lose. Or like the Path to Heaven, where the Emperor's children get run over by the White Scars.
You know what the story is, so you've kind of accepted the game, but you get to just have fun being part of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's that hang of like, I've played a bunch of historicals too, and it's like you're trying to refight like El Alamein or something, and you're like, can I swing it?
Can I do it better?
Can I do it? Can I pull out a victory where there was a defeat? Or like. But if it doesn't happen, you're like, well, they couldn't do it, so I figured.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's this, I think you get the same thing in Heresy. But, like, yeah. I think that the question, from my perspective, like, the problem with the Crusade rules is that, like, any kind of wargaming campaign or, like, narrative thing is much less about what happens on the table as it is about what happens before the table and after the table.
Yeah.
And like what's on the table only like puts inputs into what those outputs are, which is why like when you get to the mission in the Heresy campaign that you ran at or that you run at Hogtowner, it's like you could strip everything away and just play those missions, and it's like it's kind of a wacky fun mission, but with the like the framing and the
there's like stuff. Gravitas there because you are playing as a team.
Yes,
you've like. So part of it too is like we don't do like Swiss pairings or whoever beat this person plays first place on the other side or whatever. It's like a hangout. So like you get to choose your opponent. So it's like, I don't know. I kind of lost track of my point there, but
but what I'm saying is that like that's hard to sell to people in the way that like. Your codex comes with bonuses if you're playing this kind of like game mode. Your guy has like +3 to hit or whatever. You can sell that to somebody, but it's really difficult to work in any kind of like event because it's just bookkeeping and bureaucracy in like tracking things and just, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly don't feel like that type of gaming even suits events.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Like, when you think about the scale of the Hogtowner, we're talking about a $7,000 budget event that takes months of planning. People come from all over. It is a pain in the ass just to get people to submit their lists, let alone do anything narrative related.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just, you know, that's not the expectation.
It's just not what it is. Yeah.
The expectation is you come, you celebrate the three aspects of the hobby, and I'll talk about those three pillars all the time, and have a good time. The narrative, I find a lot of people just don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that element of the personal narrative might be more appealing, but the overarching narrative is just like, yeah, I came from Sarnia. Yeah. And I don't know any of you guys. I've never met you before.
Yeah. It's the idea of like trying to take what we do in our like closed group.
You're like trying to run a D&D campaign with 50 people.
Yeah, 100%.
In two days.
That's why I told other people Heresy. I was like, we can't go higher than 12.
Yeah.
Because it is like D&D-esque adjacent.
It's that thing where it's like, again, like the idea of events being co-opted specifically by the competitive scene to be tournaments. Games Workshop does also run events in heavy air quotes that are very specifically hobby focused. And that's like your Golden Demon fucking art gallery, right? Like, oh, everybody submit your thing and come look at this.
Yeah.
Here's a dreadnought that looks like it's covered in shit. But it's like, I think finding it, like, again, it's like we talk about taking the onus upon yourself within your play group, within your community, because that is, again, like what games are about, and trying to foster the type of play that you want to see. And it's like, that's easy to do in my garage. That's easy to do in Paul's backyard. It's like doing it in an event space is something that I think is like much more difficult and like, but is much more interesting and much more like, I think it's important, like reclaiming, because events have a space in the hobby. Like, it is an important aspect of the hobby, is like having events.
Especially if you're, I think, kind of in the mid range of getting into the hobby where you're like, okay, I have an army, I know what I'm doing. Don't have enough people to play with as regularly as I like. Oh, there's this event going on. Like, that's super huge. But one of the things I did want to like to switch gears to like the another pillar of like from gameplay to painting and like visual aspect, because like you said, like Hogtowner has a rubric that affects scoring. That certainly wasn't the case at the fucking airport hangar.
Oh, dude,
Was that like, did you take models from other, like a model of how to score like that from other events, or was that like homebrewed?
Paul's built it over years, and it's interesting you brought that up, because this was the first year there was ever pushback on that.
Was it really?
Yeah, people were like, I felt bad about my score, and like, we brought it up multiple times.
Which is weird, because we made them score it themselves.
Yeah, not this year.
Oh, not this year.
Not this year.
That's why.
Yeah, because essentially it is a rubric where the score of 25 means that you did wonderful. Your army is fully painted. It is based. It looks good on the table. And then it only goes up for there. And people were like, I didn't like getting a 52 back. And it's like, that's... Again, we talked to everybody about this, and that wasn't the point.
People looked at it like they were losing points out of 100, but everything you check off, you're gaining points.
Not everybody has non-metallic metal. Not everybody has freehand. Not everybody does crazy conversions and is able to blend well.
It's a thing about incentivizing the, like, rather than incentivizing the style of play that you want to see, it's incentivizing the level of hobby that you want to see. And it's like,
there wasn't any unpainted models.
Yeah, there wasn't any unpainted models. Point. There wasn't any, it's like everything, and I don't know, I think that's a thing where it's like, this is a hobbyist this is a standard that event. We want.
Yeah.
This is a standard that we have that we want everybody to aspire to. And if you didn't, like, I don't...
Yeah.
The way I always, like, thought about it is, like, there's a dress code to the place you want to go where you have to wear pants and a shirt. But if you want to win best dressed and wear a tuxedo, you can do that.
So you're creeping a little bit into a conversation about gatekeeping.
Yes.
And it's a difficult one because it's like, how do you allow new people into this hobby without
discouraging
them?
Must be kept.
Well, that is
some gates must be kept. You don't show up at a car show with a Volkswagen Passat that has rusted rims.
Totally. And this is very much
Could, but you would be booed out.
Yeah. But you would be booed out.
This is very much the episode that I want to do with Paul. It's like a little bit more.
But we can totally tap in. Because it's important because it needs to be.
And Paul literally said the first 25 points of the rubric is like putting on hobby pants. You just got to do it.
No. Yeah, but it's like, also like you don't show up to an event and spew racist bullshit.
Yeah.
And shit your pants.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's the same thing. You show up, you put effort in, and your effort will be rewarded compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same as winning or losing a game.
Yes.
Right?
We're doing a hobby that is specific. It's expansive and deep and broad, but it is specific. Like, if you came and proxied a Riptide with a Gundam, fuck off. Like, as an extreme example of something that you would not...
And it's unfortunate
like
that we have to be that prescriptive because that has happened before.
Pretty close to that exact scenario. Even in Heresy.
Even in Heresy.
And I was like, no. You can't bring that army. It doesn't... Well, we have a better excuse for Heresy because we're like, that doesn't fit the narrative.
It doesn't fit the narrative.
But it is like, if you show up to, if you're playing, this is a war game which fits inside of a larger, it's not a video game. It's not Games Workshop's Warhammer 40K or 30K. Like, it is technically. Yeah.
It's not Fortnite, like Thanos is in it.
But like, if you show up to, if there's like a wargaming group of like old grays somewhere who are playing, we're playing the Peninsular campaign of the Napoleonic Wars this weekend.
Yeah.
And you show up with not even an army from a different war, but from a different campaign, they won't let you play.
Yeah.
Which makes perfect sense because the whole point is...
I've had somebody who was interested in bolt action, not naming names, ask if he could play a Italian army with Roman legionnaires. And I said, that's insane. And he said, go have fun playing with Nazis. And I was like, you've completely lost the plot here, man. That is not the point. But yeah, it is gatekeeping in a way that builds a culture, that builds a community that shares the same values.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't kick people out.
No,
that's what I was gonna say.
Gate doors are open.
The doors are open. All you have to do is put paint on a model and flock on a base, show up, be a good person, and throw dice.
You're trying to join a group of people that have an established
culture,
idea of what of culture of what
and
the
a,
hobby
and
is
a bar.
For them.
A bar to
exactly.
Meet.
That's
and,
based
and
on
so,
respect for each other.
Yes,
maybe.
Totally.
And like,
it's also like, because my thing is like, I get the feeling, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make assumptions, but I assume that.
Well, you know what they say about assuming.
I have to assume that the majority of the people who like the Venn diagram of people who are pushing back against the hobby rubric at the Hogtowner and are bringing the like beatstick meta custodies armies is a circle, right?
You would not be correct.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah. I did not find that. I think it was people struggling.
Well, the surveys are all anonymous.
The surveys are all anonymous, well, but there were some conversations going on. But I do think it was from people who just don't really understand the Hogtown community.
Sure.
And don't understand the culture.
And it's, right. I think, again, like the culture aspect, the co-opting of the event space by the competitive scene is, if you were to take a super like tooled, tuned up meta list to a grand tournament and you went fucking 7-0 and you won the top prize, no one would be like, oh, you're gatekeeping.
you're not being very friendly to me as a beginner to the hobby who doesn't understand the game. Mm. And it's a thing where it's like, at this event, the equivalent of that is painting really fucking cool models.
Yeah.
And then you get a lot of points for painting really fucking cool models. And everyone's like, well, how is that welcoming to me as a beginner painter? And it's
but
like,
the
well,
other
fucking
side, but the other side is
do
like,
fucking better.
The other side, though, is that the rubric
literally
is,
said that about the rubric, though.
Yeah, the rubric, like, is, the bar is so low, actually.
It
just asks you to try your best.
Yep.
I know, but it was like, oh, you're not accounting for beginners. You're not accounting for people who have any kind of disability, whether that's visual or physical, like arthritis or shoulders.
You're not accounting
whatever.
For all of the edge cases that I could, which would be dealt with by the club and being like, oh, this is an exception.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. You're not accounting for all of the beginners who are willing to dedicate an entire weekend to a gaming event.
It's like, dude,
what are you fucking talking about?
I've been painting a lot for like 8 years and I still, there's people that blow me out of the fucking water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no feel bad.
No.
It's like look, you have to have the perspective of, this is my own hobby and that stuff looks awesome. So I'm going to go talk to that person and be like, how did you achieve this thing that looks so cool?
Because the event space of hobby is about community.
Yes.
And it's not about competition. It is about, like it's, you're playing games to beat each other, but you are...
It's not 100% about competition the same way it's not 100% about hobby in the same way it's not 100% about...
It's about the three pillars.
It's about the three pillars of the
most
hobby.
Balanced shape.
The strongest shape.
It's the strongest shape. You put a couple triangles together and it's not going anywhere.
Like, even thinking back to when you and I went to the airport, right? And, like, that event where it was, like, you and I were going into it as, like, this is about the community. We play Warhammer with our three friends.
Oh,
yeah.
And you guys were so green.
And now we're 19, dude. It was, like, fifth edition.
It's, like, my dad drove us there and dropped us off, right? And it's, like, and we're going to get to...
You guys are just wide-eyed walking up to the door.
Going in there and being, like, we're going to get to meet new people. We're going to get to play games against new people. And we're going to be, like, oh, hey, I really like that. How did you... And the guy was, like, can you roll a little faster? And it's, like, fuck.
We actually only had one enjoyable game.
Yeah, totally.
Where the guys were like
super chill.
Probably because it was Swiss and it was your last game, and you guys were at the very
bottom.
No, that was our middle game.
Yeah.
That was our middle game, and
they saw our list. It was like
really good memories.
Yeah,
dude, I'll never forget the one Connor and I went to. It was sixth edition, I think.
Yeah,
we had to face an invisible Warhound Titan.
Yeah, that sucks.
What the fuck?
It sucks so bad. Dude.
All he took, it was like it was Tigurius was his HQ and one tack squad, I think, and then the Warhound Titan. That was his.
The Warhound Titan wasn't painted either.
Yeah,
it was invisible,
like cardboard.
Yeah, it looked like dog shit.
Oh my god, it was bullshit.
But it's and I mean, like, I think about other like events.
I took a vacation day off work to finish painting my army.
Like, we did, like, the Escalation League at Heavy Support was an event and a series of events, and that was very much for that game shop to like sell models, right? And like trying,
it was so much fun.
But again, like, that was an event over, like, an Escalation League in general is an event. It's like, over the course of a couple of months, we're gonna have a bunch of events where we're going to foster a community and build. Mm-hmm. Like, we're trying to beat each other and get like store credit to buy.
Yeah, we were trying to win for a prize that had a monetary value.
Yeah,
at a time when everyone there was like teenagers or early 20s.
So I mean, there were some kids. There were some like, you know,
13-year-olds.
13-year-olds.
And we all got to know each other and were like joking and like exciting to see each other.
And you build a community and you build a play style and you build every week someone shows up
there's a new unit in your
army. And you're like, hey, this looks like, again, like the hobby aspect of it is like, hey, the tax squad that you painted this week looks that much better than the rhino that you painted last week. And that's like, again, like event space as fostering hobby and event space as fostering community and fucking hanging out instead of just like winning.
And that's like, as much as we can rag on stuff that like bothers us about the event and whatever, like, I think it's clearly a resounding success for the community.
So every
5 years and how many
every time
people, every time every year it's like how many people have been to a Hog Turner before or haven't, and it's like you get hands up for people that are returning, you get new people who have come with friends, so it's like, you know, the word of mouth is there and people love it. So, I think it's important to push what you want to see in a group because you'll have people that agree with you.
And I think that's one of the hardest parts about a culture and a community is that it is driven a lot by individuals. And it's tough to always like stand true to your values.
Well, I've seen you have to make some very strong statements to a group of people.
Yeah. Like,
but it is one of the most unique things, you know, in
at least you're typing it so you can really think about it.
Oh yeah. I know. There are some times where I'm just like, what the fuck are you nerds doing?
Yeah.
But in a social, like, there's not a lot of people in the, like, in your life who, like, or it's not a common experience to foster a culture.
No, it's not. I tell a lot of other people how to do it as part of my job.
Right.
I don't do it myself. But going back to when the club was founded, we were getting hounded by a certain individual who was a mainstay on podcasts and big in the competitive Warhammer scene. And he branded us as people who are obnoxious about being bad at Warhammer. And I remember just thinking, like, you are really shitting on a bunch of people who are having fun.
It's also like, I'm sorry, you don't even know what Warhammer is.
The, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you think that, like, what this scene does is being bad at Warhammer, like, but that's so stupid. It's hard to understand even how to respond to it. Like, it's mind-numbing. It's like you're eating chicken poorly by eating it. Like, what the fuck?
It's the same personality, though, that would be like, well, you can't shit on competitive players because they're playing the game how they want to play it.
No, fuck that, dude.
And it's like the hypocrisy there is like, well, we're just doing what we want to do, so what the hell?
Yeah, just leave us alone.
But it's also like, go be part of the other group. Because there's plenty of GTs.
We do this once a year. And then, well, how many GTs are going on in the GTA? It's a lot of GTs.
Yeah.
And it seems like a pretty, like, do you know, in the wider scope of things, are there other events that are, like, kind of try and push the, like, hobby side of things the way that the Hogtowner does? Like,
Astro's kind of
dead.
It had like that like death bounce and they tried to come back, but
they couldn't wrap their heads around the change to 8th edition.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys are like, what, in their 50s?
Yeah, they're in their 50s.
They've been playing since like 2nd edition.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
One of the missions at the first Astro we went to was Battle at the Farm. Like,
yeah.
They like, it was,
yeah.
And they keep slotting it in.
Become too much of a Grognard. It's hard to like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just, they keep slotting it in. And it's like, that is cool and I appreciate that. But like, it's been 8 editions since that came out, and
you need to figure shit out.
The game is just so different now.
Yeah,
yeah.
And if you want to draw people who have come in the last year or 3 years, don't know what the fuck Battle of the Farm is.
There's people that are 18 that have no idea what we're talking about.
To answer your question, the only group that I know that does this well is out of a little rock off the coast of Spain called Gibraltar. SN Battle Reports.
Oh, I've seen pictures of that.
Does a wonderful job of balancing hobby and gameplay. And honestly, that's what I think we aspire to a little bit.
You have to apply to even go.
Yeah,
to
I would.
And then you pay them $5.
I would love to do an invitation.
It's a lot more than
sure.
It's like a welcome. It's a welcome dinner. It's like a room at the place.
That's amazing.
You gotta fly to.
Yeah. You get like a tour of like some battlement or something, right?
Dude,
like,
there's so much shit out there.
Because I feel like it's a thing where it's like, for how unique the Hogtowner is and how hard it is for the like Reddit DACA hive mind to kind of like wrap their brains around it. It's like, even I think if like a couple of people read that Goonhammer article and they're like, oh, that sounds cool. Let's give that a try.
We actually took it upon ourselves way more than last year. And Paul was like, I'm going to send them the whole mission pack.
Yeah, everything.
And I'm going to give them a write-up of like the thesis of the event or whatever. And they put it into the article this year. Because last year they were like, what the hell is going on in Toronto?
But it blows my mind that it would confuse people. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't.
Well, all they're looking, because
they're looking at lists.
They pull data points from. What's it called?
No, I understand.
Best Ghost Pairing.
I understand how it works. I understand what Goonhammer is and like how it works. And like,
no. But they're looking at just the 40 lists.
Right.
So they don't know any. They're just assuming it's a GT. So they're looking at the list that won, and they're like,
"How did that list
what
win?
What the hell?
But the fact that
this is an army that's in the bottom tier.
Lucas,
how did they win?
Lucas ran a Banehammer super heavy battle tank and beat Angron three times because Lucas did kill Angron three times.
Amazing.
He comes back.
Yeah.
But it blows my mind that someone wouldn't be like see that and be like, oh, strange. Let me Google this
event.
Like, oh.
Oh, Reddit
just playing Warhammer.
Reddit steps in.
Right.
No.
People on Reddit who I don't know are like, "Don't even try. This is a great event that doesn't care about
That's awesome that the community's grown to the point where you have random people on Reddit defending it, though.
Yeah. And it's that's kind of what I'm getting at is like, I hope fucking five dudes in Arkansas read that Goonhammer thing and are like, cool, let's do a weekend where we get like our local hobby shop and we try and run something like that. Even if it's on such a reduced scale, is like, I think the community by and large needs more events.
No, because
events
what you're talking about, like the principles that you're talking about can be applied as equally to a 50 person large event in a hall as it can be to a small gaming club.
Exactly.
100%.
In like a small town or something.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just about pushing yourself to be a better person, a better player, and a better painter.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
No.
Totally.
Right? And it's interesting. I've gone out to Kingston a couple times, and they struggle with just getting players.
Right.
Right? So there's that aspect of it as well, because they barely get enough players to run their events. They can't gatekeep.
Right.
They'll have eight people show up and four of them will be unpainted gray plastic. And
So I went out there to play a tournament, and there were a lot of fully painted armies played by really cool guys, but not enough to run an event.
Right.
So I think we are very lucky with the community that we've built. Hogtown, we have a membership structure, and that helps us run events and buy prizes and just have funds to do cool stuff. We've got about like 60-80 people who throw $20 in the pot every year. And just, it's a good base to work from. And not everybody is that fortunate, right? Because these people buy into the culture. They know what we're about. And it's a neat feeling to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're running up again. We're at about an hour. I don't know if there's too much more ground to tread.
No, I'm good. Should we do hobby goals? Or you got something to...
Before hobby progress, hobby goals, I wanted to ask if either of our listeners is thinking about putting on an event, you could, one piece of advice from your 5 years of running the Hogtown, or like, what would you say to someone who's trying to run their own event?
You can't do enough organizing. You actually can't. Things will go wrong.
Yeah.
People will drop. People will get sick. Children will get sick.
Mm.
Trains will be missed. You cannot do enough organizing. And just run the event that you would want to play in. Yep.
I'll piggyback off of that and say have two to like maybe four
pizzas.
So max five of you. Five of you, like good friends that are going to put an equal stake into planning it as well as they can and support each other to do so.
Yeah.
Because you will have hiccups and you will have snags and it's stressful, especially when there's money on the line for a venue and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But just have a group of people that have the same vision as you and do it together, because it makes it a blast.
Can I read a couple comments from our post-event survey?
Please.
Yes.
All right. So we always do a survey at the end of each Hogtowner. It asks, how are the missions? How are the twists? What was your favorite part? What was your least favorite part? And I always love looking at what was your favorite moment from the weekend. And there's a couple that really stand out because it just speaks to the narrative aspect and people looking for the narrative within those games. And we've got,
Had a great moment against Rocco where my Penitent engines charged Bjorn the fell-handed. Took him down to one wound and then were slaughtered. But their deadly demise triggered and took the last wound off of him.
That's so sick.
That and we've rules. Got fucking Tim, the librarian, vortexed himself three times. Once, fatally. Right? And then we've got like winning Legos for my son.
Oh.
As like as a fun little thing. But then like the last one I want to say is just meeting all the awesome people in the community. It was truly a blast, and I can't stop talking about how much fun I had.
Sick.
A lot of recurring ones for my least favorite part, too, that I noticed was people being like, I wish I had more time to hang out and talk with more
yes.
people.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's like, if that was your least favorite part, yeah. then that is so awesome because we can definitely fix that.
Yeah, man. We could definitely work
that's
on that.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah, we like to wrap stuff up with the little hobby progress, hobby goals. So we can, you know, we usually say since the last episode, you guys not having been here before, if we want to say like since the Hogtowner, you guys taking a hobby break or has there been hobby progress? And that can be like painting,
well,
that can be games, that
the
can
Hogtowner
be.
If you want, 'cause that's probably stuff.
In the last month, I've painted two Salamanders Land Raider Proteuses.
Protei.
I snagged some 3D printed parts to make them look like the old school Proteuses.
So sick.
Which has been a lot of fun. They're great models, great 3D printed parts. And most of my hobbying has been planning an event.
Yeah.
That's sick. Tons of planning for Heresy. I think it was like 8 weeks of writing. Nuts. Since the event, though, I actually had like kind of a surge to do hobby because I had such a big break. All my hobby time was writing. So I've been working on a new Emperor's Children Heresy army. So just building, no painting. But built some of the like flying couches, the
so
land
cool.
speeders. They're awesome. James 3D printed those for me as well. And just started working on the new Mark III kit,
yeah.
which is actually awesome.
I love it.
It's so cool. Good. It's so cool.
It's
I can't
so
wait.
Heresy. I like it a lot.
I can't wait to paint it. So I'm working on the Laz Cannon squad, and then I'll do 15 despoilers with that 20 man kit.
A Laz Cannon squad? Do you mean the meta
the
Sun
Killers?
Sun Killers,
which is a sick name.
It is a sick name.
I got I'm continuing on the homebrew chapter, the Chonky Boys.
Yeah.
I've got.
Is that the official chapter name?
No, that's the code chapter name, so no one steals my fucking chapter name.
Matt Mercer.
Calling you out.
I did 5 Chonky Assault Marines, because they released Primaris Assault Marines. But they got like the old good, legit
Mark
jump pack. Mark 7?
7, yeah.
I did a Smash Captain. I painted a Lieutenant. And I'm about to go into painting the second tax squad and building a dreadnought.
Sick.
Nice.
It's good.
I haven't painted anything since August.
You moved.
I've moved. Yeah. My hobby progress was moving into a place where I have a garage that we can play games in.
Hell
now.
Yeah, dude.
But you and I went to Guildhouse. We played some Stargrave. We've been keeping on with our Stargrave campaign.
Yeah.
Which is
our Stargrave campaign in our 40K campaign.
Yes, our Stargrave campaign within our 40K campaign.
That's but so good.
Our Stargrave campaign, because we started doing like the tracking like of experience
oh,
and
adds
loot
so much
and
to
stuff.
It, yeah.
And it
took
rocks.
Us 2 years to finally start doing that.
It's very fun. It's,
dude,
it's really
I've
good.
Been painted for like over, like, yeah, 2 years. When we first got into it, everyone's like, "We're doing crews," and I was like, "I'm on it." Built and painted over like 4 months. And you guys still aren't painted.
I'm painted.
You're painted.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm 80% painted.
You jumped in late and you're painted second. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My shit looks amazing. Are you kidding me? So my hobby goal is to paint
something.
Once.
Secret
oh, yeah.
Santa.
See, yes, I've procured my
Secret Santa.
Ingredients for Secret Santa.
Shit.
Oh yeah.
So that was like 2 months.
We got till January.
Yeah, yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I gotta start. Yeah, it's, I need to get now that I'm like in the house.
It's Orthodox.
I'm, like,
Santa.
Yeah, Orthodox Santa. Orthodox
Chinese
Santa, yeah.
New Santa.
So yeah, my goal is to start painting something. I'm like halfway, not halfway. I'm like a third of a way through painting a Trigon that I should probably That's going to be like my jumping back in point.
You have to fucking finish that, dude.
Yeah.
It looks cool.
Oh, is that with the like crumbling base?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to build the rest of your line so we can play 10th edition, dude.
I have 1,000 points built.
Oh, we can play that.
I have 1,000 points built and primed.
You can push it up to 15, bro. Yeah. I played Simon 15 the other weekend. It was the Hogtown weekend. It was sick. Such a good game, actually.
Hell yeah.
The cards are great.
The cards are great, yeah.
You got a hobby goal for the next little bit?
Paint an entire Battlefleet Heresy
fleet. Yo.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Oh, man. Yeah. There's too much on the go, dude. James gave us those free ships, and I was like, damn it.
I'm not saying...
starting a new army. Why are you doing this to me?
I'm already married. I don't need to get married.
Yeah, I have a wedding next year, too.
So. Does it? Yeah.
I feel like I could paint Imperial Fists Heresy fleet quick.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Now that contrast paints exist,
it'll
be way easier. Yeah. Also, Heresy, I'm going to do Iron Hands, so it's just like black.
Oh, black and silver. Yeah. There you go.
Maybe, I feel like the goal is probably. I don't even know if I want to build all the models I have for Emperor's Children, but I want to get them all primed, like the silver Zenithal, and then do a test squad.
Dude, it took me a year to get like 3,000 points of Salamanders.
I'll do it that fast. You crank those out, so.
To get 3,000 points of Heresy, it took me 5 years to gather everything and then 3 months to cram it all in before Hogtown.
That might be what this army is. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes.
That's another great thing about events is it does push it pushes, you to paint.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
It really does.
Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It was terrible.
Yeah. Stop doing this podcast. It's bad. Do you want people to check shit out, like Instagram handles or like anything that you want people to know about?
The club.
This is, again, both of our listeners are guaranteed to.
We have literally sevens of listeners across the world.
Do you want to give the Hogtown Discord? I don't know.
I don't know how you can share Discords.
Oh.
It's like a link with like slashes and sevens.
Okay, we're not doing that. Because that'll expire in 7 days anyways. but if you look at Hogtown 40K on Facebook, it will have links to the Discord. Come join us. I am point N click 40K.
Nick. Nick is in there, right?
No, I don't think so. We can. Let's do it.
Dyslexic. You see, click, and you're reading Nick.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
That might be what's happening.
Point Nick, click.
It is just point the letter N, click 40K, even though I rarely play 40K anymore on Instagram. It is literally just salamanders and something that I painted Campbell and Connor. I don't post enough on this account. No, that's fair.
Yeah, well, I do stories and like updates, but my Instagram is 10th_praetor, but it's XTH for Iron Hands. Mostly Heresy stuff, but tiny bit of 40K, and yeah, stories of games when I'm playing stuff. So. Check it out.
We're at CockedPod.
At CockedPod.
Going to raise hell.
Going to raise hell.
Bugs, I hate bugs.
You got cocked.
You got cocked.
Support your local library.
Pow!